Our scripture lesson today comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, and if you have your Bibles today, you're welcome to follow along with me as we read a very familiar, I'm sure, parable to you, the parable of the lamp. I'm reading from Mark chapter 4. I'm going to begin with verse 21 and read down through verse 25, and if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to read along with me, and if not, you're welcome to listen as we read the parable of the lamp. Then Jesus asked the disciples, "Would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Then Jesus added, "Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, but for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of His holy word, and let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful to be a part of this community of faith that has gathered in worship of you today. And we pray, Lord, that just as your Holy Spirit has moved through our gathering thus far, that your Holy Spirit would continue to move among us. Especially, Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, we humbly ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts, that the message that you have for us today, the words that we are to hear, Lord, that they might be more for us than just information. Lord, we have plenty of information, and what we have come for today, what we are asking you for today, Lord, in faith, is that your word would transform us. And we pray, God, that as we are open to your word, as your Holy Spirit works among us today, that we might hear and receive what you have for us today. And Lord, may your words indeed transform us all. All this we ask, not because of who we are, but because of our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. And it's in the name of Jesus that we've offered up this prayer, saying, Amen. There was once a little girl who had been to church with her mother, and as they were riding home together in the car, the little girl started to question her mother about what had happened in the service. She was trying to make sure that she understood what was going on, and she said, "Mother, you know that the pastor said today that God is so big, God is bigger than all things, God is so big that God could hold the world in his very hands." And the mother said, "Yes, that's true, honey. That's what God is." And then she said, "But the pastor also said that God, for those who have Jesus, wants to come and live in our hearts, that he wants to come and live inside of us. Is that right, Mom?" And her mother said, "Yes, honey, that's our understanding." So the girl thought about it for a few minutes. And then she said to her mother, she said, "You know, If God really lives inside us and he's that big that he could hold the whole world, wouldn't God just kind of burst right through us? Wouldn't God just kind of go right outside of us? And isn't that the way God is? Isn't that the way it is? Or maybe we should say that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it should be. That God should indeed burst forth through all of us if we believe that God is indeed living within us and in our hearts. Today we have a very familiar parable before us. You all have heard it, I'm sure, the parable about the light. In the days of the New Testament, in the days of Jesus, people regularly used oil lamps to light their homes at night and the synagogues and the other places that they had. And what they would always do is they had a stand in the home. Typically, they probably had more than one, and they would make sure that the lamp ended up on the stand, and the stand was placed in the room where the most light would be diffused, where they could see. So Jesus uses a very familiar item when he's speaking to the people, when he talks about a lamp, and he says, nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Nobody lights a lamp and sticks it under their bed, but they put it on the lampstand so that the light can be diffused, so the light can go where it needs to go. Then Jesus says something very interesting. He says, let those that have ears hear. Let those that have ears hear. In other words, this might not be so plain to everyone, but if you have, as we used to say in the days of CB radio, boy, did I just date myself. Have you got your ears on? You remember that? To those who have your ears on, Jesus says, you will receive understanding. And he goes on to say that those who receive understanding will get even more, but those who fail to understand will lose the understanding that they have. So not only did Jesus have a parable that he used to teach all of us, but also Jesus had a warning. He said, if you don't pay attention to what is being said here, you're liable not to be able to keep what understanding you have, much less get any more. It's fascinating to me, all the images of light that there are in the Bible. But I really think that what Jesus is talking about here is he's talking about the light of God's love that should be within each and every one of us. And indeed, just as the little girl understood when she was going home with her mother, it should shine forth from us. There should not be one of us that the light of Christ doesn't shine forth from. But I tell you, in my time as a Christian, as a layperson, now as a pastor, I saw some of this last week at annual conference when all the Methodists gathered together. There are some people in the midst of worship services and in the midst of gathering together, and that's just their daily lives, that they look like they ate the most sour dill pickle when they are in God's house. And I thought, man, if you look like this here, what do you look like when you get home? What's it like when you're not in God's house? Because, there were some people that I noticed last week that it was like they were in the right place and they were doing the right thing, but somehow the light of Christ hadn't really shone through. And they weren't really feeling the Spirit that, as Mary Noble told you, the rest of us were kind of feeling the Spirit go through the place, and there are some people who just didn't feel it. And it's all about having the light of Jesus Christ within you. Because I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you don't already know this, this world is a dark place. Are you listening to me this morning? Are you with me? This world that we live in is a dark place. Dark place. It's a dark place. And sometimes we forget how dark our world really is. Friday night, Noah and I had the privilege of going in and serving with Jack and Pam Brockelman. Once a month, our church goes and works with the Salvation Army in Nashville. And what we do is we prepare food and then we take it out onto a bridge in downtown Nashville. And under the bridge, we serve food. And I want to tell you, it's heartbreaking to see how many people were standing in line when we got there waiting to get a meal. And then as we left, the woman from the Salvation Army said, we need to take these clothes with us. And we had about 5 bags of clothes. And we handed the clothes out and the tables out to some of the other volunteers. The volunteers put these clothes on the table. They were obviously used clothes. And these poor people standing around, gathering around, trying to find something to wear. that was a cast off, probably from some of us. Some of that might have come from my home, I'm sure. I have lots of clothes in my closet that I regularly don't really wear, and every now and then we have a purging session, right? And we take these out and we give them away. And it was fascinating to me to watch this, because, you see, sometimes when we think about the homeless, when we think about the hungry, when we think about people who are in need, what we think about is they got there by their own fault. And honestly, that's probably true in some cases. There are a few homeless people who choose to be that way. But you know what I saw? I saw a bunch of people gathered together on Friday night who were trying to find some light. Who were trying to find some light because they keep walking in darkness. And they were trying to find some light. And it was amazing to me as these people began to come up, because we had a nice assembly line. Jack Brockelman, if you ever need somebody to organize something, Jack Brockelman is your man. He's your man. And if you ever need somebody just to greet people, Pam Brockelman is your woman. She's the woman that you need. So we've got this assembly line going, and we're handing out this food, you know, left and right, trying to get this food out to these people, because it's obvious that they're very hungry. And I can't tell you how many times when Pam would hand somebody a plate and she'd say, "How are you?" And that person would say, "I'm blessed. I'm blessed." To the point that I started to say, how many times do I go through my day and I forget how blessed I am? You know, because I didn't have to go somewhere and find my dinner. And maybe the only hot meal I had that week. And you see, what we are called to do is we are called to be the light of God's love, the light of Jesus Christ to this dark world that we live in. And sometimes we forget that. It's easy to forget that we are called to be the light. Because you see, sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own stuff that we forget that we're supposed to have the light of Jesus living within us, and that light should burst forth from us to the world. We have a beautiful set of stained glass windows in this church. I don't know if you've ever paid attention to them or if you've ever looked at them, but we've got some beautiful stained glass in this church. And you know, it's fascinating to me that when it's dark, when we're in here at night, you can't see the images of Jesus that are on these windows, can you? You can't see them. Well, why can't you see them? Because the light has to shine through the windows before you can see what these windows do. And brothers and sisters, we are called to be the light of the world. And we are not called to have some sort of religion, some sort of spirituality, I don't care whatever you want to call it, where we come to church on Sunday and we get fed, and it's all about us getting fed, and then we just wait until the next Sunday to get fed again. That's not what it's about. It's about us letting the light of Christ shine through us to the world. And it fascinates me, because that's what I got to see on Friday night. I got to see an example of us gathered together. And it wasn't just the four of us from Rehoboth. There were some people from other churches that were there. And it was obvious that the light was shining to the world. You see, one time somebody asked a little boy what a saint was. And he thought about it for a minute, and he said, I think the best definition for a saint is somebody who God's light and love shines through them to the world. And that's it, isn't it? That's what a saint is. That's what a saint is. And you see, we all have opportunities to be saints. We all have that opportunity. We all have the opportunity to let the light shine through us if we will do it. I think sometimes, again, we just get so wrapped up in our own stuff, we forget that we are supposed to be the light of Christ shining through others. Because, you know, it's interesting that Bob used the song, The Days of Elijah, and he introduced it. And I appreciate that, Bob. Thank you for sharing that with us today, because I think that's very important. Because it was not just the writer of this song that could get depressed, looking at the world, wondering what was going on. We all could if we did it hard enough and long enough, couldn't we? I mean, I've gotten to the point, folks, where I can't watch television anymore. Well, I can watch Braves games and Red Sox games. That's not completely true. But I sure can't watch the news anymore, because it is so, so dark. But you know, in the very first chapter of the Gospel of John, there's this verse, and this verse has given me hope in dark times. And the verse says this: the light shines on in the darkness. The light shines on in the darkness. And you know, that's our job, folks. That's what we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be lights shining in the darkness. And the rest of that verse says, and the darkness cannot overcome the light. It cannot. But you see, when we forget that we are the light, when we forget that we are to be people who are shining with the light and the love of Christ, all of a sudden, we don't add light to the dark world. What do we add? More darkness. Brothers and sisters, hear me today. If there's anything that we Christians don't need to be doing, is we sure shouldn't be adding more darkness to a dark world. Amen. We don't need to be people who are adding darkness to the dark world. Rick Warden, who is the pastor of Saddleback Church out in California, who's written a gazillion seller book, The Purpose-Driven Life, says that there are two reasons that people don't want to become church. People don't want to come church. Blah, blah, blah. People don't want to come to church, and people don't want to give their life to Jesus. The first reason is they've never met somebody who was a Christian. The second reason is that they met somebody who was a Christian. What they met was one of those sour pickles, amen? They didn't meet somebody who was had the light and who was shining. So the message is very simple, I think. I think we should ask ourselves, every day, am I shining with the light and the love of Jesus Christ? Am I sharing more light and love of Jesus Christ? Have I made the world a better place because I'm walking through it? Because I'm going to tell you, we don't need any more darkness. We don't need it. There's enough already. And for goodness sakes, if you want to be a sour pickle, that's fine. Stay home. Stay home. And don't tell people that you're a churchgoer and a Christian, don't tell them, because we got enough people like that out there. But brothers and sisters, what we are called to be is bearers of the light. Just like these stained glass windows, we are called to let the light of Jesus shine through us so that the world can see, because the world is tired of words. Do you know this? I got to tell you, after being through annual conference 4 days, I'm tired of words too. You know, words can only do so much. But indeed, I thought to myself, Friday night, I thought, you know, we didn't preach a sermon. We didn't bring a devotional. We didn't sing a hymn, okay? We didn't have any stained glass around us. Indeed, we were in this Salvation Army van that looked like it was patched together, maybe with some duct tape. But what we did have was the light of Christ. And anybody who was foolish enough to think that all we were doing was handing out food, oh no. We were sharing the love of Jesus Christ. We were sharing the love of Jesus Christ. And again, we needn't get this mixed up. This love does not naturally reside in us. It doesn't naturally reside in me. But when I will let myself become like that stained glass window, when I will be transparent and let the light of Jesus Christ shine through me, God can do marvelous things. And all of a sudden, the world becomes just a little less dark. Now, we could have left. We could have left Friday night. We could have said this. Oh my gosh, we ran out of food. We didn't run out of food until probably the people that were there and another third of them got to eat again, but there were some people who came up late. And you see, we could have said, you know what? We can't do this. We can't do this anymore because we can't provide enough food for the hungry world. To which the Lord God would say to us, let your light shine. I've given you plenty. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. The light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It cannot, and it will not. And we must be the bearers of the light of Christ, the love of Christ to the world, to everybody. Because you can tell people about Jesus Christ all day long, and they're used to it. They're used to it. When was the last time somebody rang your doorbell and they were holding pamphlets from some Christian denomination? It probably wasn't ours. We're scared to ring doorbells. And what did you do? If you're like me, I've got these two little windows on the side of my door, and I start approaching the door like this. You know, trying to get a peek of who is out there. Oh, no, we are not answering the door. But when you share the light and the love of Christ wherever you go, then all of a sudden people start to pay attention. And they're not paying attention to you. They're paying attention to the light because the world is so dark. Are you with me? They're paying attention to the light because the world is so dark. And when they see some light, they go, whoa, there's some light here. And it's fascinating to me that one of the very first things the Lord God did in creation is He said these words, let there be light. And brothers and sisters, that is our call. That is our call to wherever we go to say to ourselves, Lord, let there be light. Let there be light. Can you say it with me? Let there be light. When we go to the dark places of the world, when we encounter things that we don't understand, when we're in places where it seems like the darkness is overwhelming, we should say to each other, let there be light. Should we not? Let there be light. When we are in situations where we don't really know what to do, we don't know what our purpose is, we don't know what to say, we just happen to be there, we should say what? Let there be light. Let there be light. Because if the light of Jesus Christ, it lives within us, then the last thing we ought to do is just bring it out on Sunday morning and plop it out so all the good people sitting around us in the pew can see how lit up we are. Right? But instead, we should be people who whatever we do, wherever we go, wherever God calls us to be, and we're all going to be in different places, and that's the beauty of this. That's the beauty of this. Is that you don't have to have me or Mary Noble with you. You already have what you need. You have the light. All you have to do is go out and let that light shine through you so that the dark world becomes just a little less dark. May we always know that our job, our task, the reason that we exist in this world is to be light bearers for Jesus Christ. And that whenever we go and bring just a little bit of light to a dark place, then Jesus Christ is alive again. He's working again. each and every time that we let God's light shine through us. So may you always, always let your light shine. Amen. Amen.